How is it not in there?
Have you ever met Cam and Janine Chips?
I don't know, maybe this line is signed in the podium.
Can I move that?
She works for Airwalk or Vans.
All right. Hello, Morro Bay, and welcome to the Tuesday, October 1st special meeting for Public Works Advisory Board. Please be advised that we have everybody in attendance tonight. Welcome back, everybody. And before we get started, could we have a moment of silence? Okay. We don't have much on the agenda tonight. Do we have anybody on the board want to make any announcements? No one rushing to the microphone? Not yet. Okay, so with that, we're going to, we don't have a consent calendar. This is a special meeting. We're going to get right to our first item on the agenda. And it's old business, talking about the Morro Creek Multi-Use Trail and Bridge Project. And so with that, we turn it over to...
Well, it's going to be a team effort.
Okay, there you go.
Today, I'll introduce the item. Barry's going to give some opening remarks, and then really our consultant from RRM, Mike Sherrod, will be giving the bulk of the presentation. So, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Barry.
Yeah, Barry Rands, associate engineer. Members of the board, last time we were here 3 weeks ago, we presented three alternatives. We discussed and received public comment. And we zeroed in on a simple bridge design. That was the recommendation to staff, the truss design, and that's what we have to present today. Further detailed details on that bridge design and the entire project, which includes, of course, the multi-use trail. Revisions that was made on the simple truss design is that, as you recall, we had two options: a simple pedestrian bridge and a larger 14-foot wide structure that could accommodate 60,000-pound emergency vehicles. And we deliberate here. The recommendation was to go with the simple pedestrian bridge. Staff then. Went back with that recommendation and talking with our emergency services people, fire department and police department, really felt that it was important to have at least our emergency vehicles have access for emergency services to the other side of the creek. And so we came up with a compromise. The bridge that's the same width as what we originally had suggested, 12.5 feet wide, but could accommodate a 40,000-pound vehicle. And so that is the bridge design that we're presenting today. And I was hoping that maybe Steve Knuckles, the police chief, the fire department chief, would he be here also? He might be coming later to if you have any further questions about that aspect. But with that, I'll turn it over to Mike Sherrod, with RRM, and he's going to then present the finer points of this revised design.
Just before Mike takes it over, since Chief Knuckles is... I don't think has joined us yet, just wanted to express a couple of his concerns regarding that bridge. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have a connection across between North Morro Bay and the Embarcadero there. And his goal was to provide enhanced emergency vehicle access across there. Their ultimate goal was to have any mutual aid vehicle be able to cross that. But like Barry said, we came up with a compromise suggestion was our own fire trucks, if they could cross that, the fire department would, you know, would appreciate that much because there are many instances where Embarcadero is blocked and fire vehicles cannot get down there very easily. One example coming up is our Harbor Festival. It's a very busy section. If they had an alternative access to the Embarcadero, it could enhance emergency response. A couple years ago, there was an accident out in the water that took them quite some time to get emergency vehicles through coming down Beach Street and then down Embarcadero. So if there was a second access, also they're concerned about there's a large gas line that comes through the city that serves a power plant. They're concerned about not the routine, but the more catastrophic events, and being that this is a once-in-a-lifetime bridge, if we had the opportunity to build it to support our own city's emergency vehicles, that would be advantageous to our emergency services. And with that, I'll give it over to Mike.
Thanks, Rob. Chairperson Makowetzki and board members, thanks again for entertaining the special meeting. I know it's taxing on your time, but really appreciate it. What I'd like to do is have a brief presentation to share with you how the project has evolved since our last meeting about 3 weeks ago and provide a little more detail on the project itself. And as a bit of a refresher on screen, what we've provided is just a recap of the project's main components, and that we want to keep in mind that it actually consists of three pieces. There's the boardwalk component, the pedestrian component, there's the bike path, and then, as we've been discussing, the bridge. Those three components make up this project, which sometimes is called the Harborwalk Extension, or its current name, which is a long acronym when you put it all together. What I'd like to do is walk you through the alignment, and we've selected a few viewpoints to show you what the project would look like to help visualize it in its built form. And I think it'll help put a face on the project for everybody. The first view area we wanted to call out is a section of the project which begins near the intake structure and also the current trailhead for the project. And then what the project consists of a Class 1 multi-use bike path that runs parallel to Embarcadero Road and heads out toward the rock and towards Dirt Embarcadero. This is primarily designed to pick up cyclists who are coming down the on-street lanes who would have a natural tendency to continue down this road, but as we all know, the road is very narrow. And we're going to provide them the multi-use facility adjacent to that roadway. It also picks up traffic or cyclists coming back and back to this trailhead. But to help put a face on it, and this is a photograph from the very first 4th of July bike parade on the Harbor Walk, but this is the system that we're looking at. It's the bike path right adjacent to the roadway. That's how that section of the path would look and function. And second, as we move down the bike path to the intersection with Dirt Embarcadero, we're coming into an intersection of sorts where we're adding a new bike and a boardwalk connection to the existing bike and boardwalk system, knowing that there will be pressure to make the connection from the Dirt Embarcadero back down to the waterfront here. So we'll provide that link between the parking area, which a lot of the kayakers and stand-up paddlers use, and Coleman Park. And then create an intersection here with a way to facilitate crossing, and then we'll take the pedestrian boardwalk and the bike path all the way out to Morrow Creek and to the pit parking lot. And in this area, to provide a bit of a definition for what the system would look like, as we discussed it so conceptually last time, we provided this section perspective to give some understanding of the path systems together. To the left of the screen is the beach, and to the right is the power plant. But you can see that it's really intended to be to carry the system that we've come to know and love along the along the waterfront for the pedestrian and the cyclist to continue out to the rock. So we've got the pedestrians closest to the dune system with an 8-foot boardwalk. We have a 2-foot bioswale in between, which we're using as a way to capture stormwater runoff and actually have it as a bit of a pre-treatment. It's a good water quality measure, and it's a low-impact development standard. And a 12-foot wide bike path to accommodate cyclists, tricycle riders, recumbent bike riders, and surreys, similar to the usage that we're seeing now along the waterfront. And then the dirt embarcadero remains dirt embarcadero all the way out, and pretty low-intensity design. And then further on down that continuance of that system, it's very similar to what we saw in the section, but we have introduced an interpretive overlook, which we think is a great feature, and we wanted to give you an idea of what this might look like. And this is a drawing looking from the east toward the west, actually back at the rock, and looking at a way to provide an interpretive station or a destination for folks. It would be fully accessible, provide a couple of opportunities for interpretation that would be brought in from a variety of sources at a later point. But it also incorporates the stone seat walls that we've seen that exist out on the project now. And we're using that same material to create not just the interpretive overlook, but a more additional benches and seating. So you can use it as a rest spot, seat walls. And while I'm talking about those stone seat walls, too, there are 4 other spots along the walk where those benches are out there. So there's opportunity to sit and enjoy the environment and take a little bit of a respite from your walk. And then as we head down to the creek and to the pit parking lot, which is where a lot of the action's happening, and again, as we described last time, the intent is to bring the bike paths and the pedestrians across and along the creek and down west towards to a terminus point that provides a really good overlook and a really good beach access point to the beach there, and provides access both on foot and on bike. And it also, more importantly, preserves the existing lot as is. It's really organic, and we're not going to affect that with this project, which I think is a key component. It also maintains the current beach access that the Harbor Department uses, lifeguards use, and emergency services, as well as other events like Project Surf Camp uses this as an access and staging point. So this all remains intact with this project. And to help put a face on this, we have this. The blue triangle gives you an idea of the view direction we're looking out towards the water. This is a bit of a bird's eye view sketch of what the facility might look like with the bike path and parking area in this area and the pedestrian boardwalk coming around and wrapping, providing some, again, the stone seating and some more opportunities for interpretive overlook and just really a great beach access. And this could be a destination in and of itself. A lot of the people who, folks in town who go for walks, go to the terminus point at the rock parking lot and then come back. This gives them another opportunity for that. And then looking at the bridge component, again, we've created a visual simulation to show before and afters of what this would look like. And again, we have a view looking from the proposed bike path at the bridge. This is the current condition, looking from south to north, and the proposed condition would look like this. We'll just toggle back and forth, the existing, looking north, and then the proposed condition. The bridge structure is actually modeled off the actual engineering plans. This is a photorealistic simulation, and the elevation of the bridge deck and the railings are true. This is what you would see if it were built. And the other components on the side here are, you know, assuming that we'd bring the native plantings back in, as we did with the Harborwalk Phase 1, to bracket the project. And in the process, this project would end up removing the non-native ice plant and some of the other non-native plants that are out there. And to get a little more technical on the bridge, this is the actual bridge plan from the bridge engineer. As you can see, it's 130-foot long bridge span, as we presented last time. And the bridge thickness or the deck thickness, actually, we were able to maintain it even with the loading for the 40,000-pound vehicle, we maintained the same deck thickness, so the deck didn't get any thicker, which was, when we originally looked at it, was potentially a constraint given the elevation of the floodwaters that we need to stay clear of. And then we have a quick section of what the bridge structure would look like with a fire engine drawn on it for a bit of scale reference. But you can see that the vehicle itself has plenty of room clear on either side. And even at its widest dimension of 9 foot 10, it's still more narrow than the 12 foot 6 clear dimension on the inside. And with that, I thought this is the view you'd have from the overlook at the pit parking lot. It's not a bad spot to go out and go for a walk. And that concludes my presentation.
All right. Well, that's very informative. Thank you, Mike. Well, we want to open it up to questions. Do we have any questions? Or okay, here we go. So how about we start with you? Well, do you have any questions down here? Okay. Well, as we talk, if you do have some, I mean, if someone strikes a chord, but please go ahead.
Okay. I got about three questions. The first one was, it's going to run more because of the fact that you're looking at beefing up the bridge to handle the emergency vehicles. And I do remember, if I remember correctly, Measure Q is tied to services of the police and fire in this town, if I'm not correct. Do you feel there's a nexus there that you could use Measure Q funds to try and backfill the cost of this since it'd be serving that purpose?
There may be multiple funding opportunities, Measure Q being just one of those. There's, you know, one-time monies that the city would be looking at with, for example, the Dynergy lease payment would be another opportunity for additional funds. One thing is clear that there's probably not enough room in the city's general fund budget to pay for it, so we'd be looking at one-time monies. Also, although not applicable for the emergency vehicle portion of it, we will be talking with SLOCOG to enhance our a grant opportunity to include some of those more aesthetic features that Mike has shown. So we'll be looking at some supplemental dollars for this project also to, you know, once we get those final cost estimates, we can complete our ask package for SLOCOG. But there's a multitude of funding sources for that.
The reason I asked, Rob, was because at the last meeting I did kind of press more to get away from the emergency vehicles. And one of the reasons was cost, pure and simple.
Right.
And I do agree with you in the sense that I think this is a one-time opportunity and you might as well get it, especially if the monies are there to allow the project to move forward, because I think it is a nice project, a viable project, and one we should have. So that's why I asked the question about the funding, and I thought it might tie to Measure Q because that was the express purpose was for that purpose originally. The second question I had, you talk about the dirt embarcadero. Is the emergency vehicles actually using the dirt embarcadero to get up to the bridge, or are they actually running on the bike path?
They'd be running on the dirt embarcadero.
Is it going to be based, or is it going to be dirt?
It's actually a base surface right
so,
now.
So it'll be a structural section of some sort. Okay, that was my second question. And then the last one, and this is the one that I have the biggest concerns about, and I talked a little bit with...
There'd be some creative way to prevent vehicles from crossing that
and that was the only thing I saw in this, you know, whole design criteria that concerns me personally was the autos mixing, you know, somebody deciding to take a trip down there and think they're going to cross at that point. The last thing, in looking, and it made more sense to me when I saw one of your details up there, you have a physical... look like a paved bike lane going over the bridge with a boardwalk made out of Trex material or whatever on the side. Is that correct to separate the pedestrians from the bicycle traffic?
That's how the pathway is designed. Over the bridge, no. The bridge is 12 feet 6 clear, and there's not a lane marked out for pedestrians.
I'm not a bicyclist, but it kind of concerns me, people zipping across on a bicycle while a bunch of people are walking on the bridge. Would it be fair to ask bicyclists to dismount from the bike and walk it across the bridge? Because I just see, I don't know, I see bicyclists riding across at 20 miles an hour and people walking in a 12-foot section. I don't know how you deal with that. It's just something that caught my eye in looking at this.
Well, I could speak to that a bit. My focus with RRM for the past 22 years, or 21 years, has been developing public trails and bike facilities throughout the state. And this is a common question that comes up with bridges or structures, typically because by their nature, because of the cost, you spend as little as you can to make them as narrow as possible to convey what you need to convey. Right. And the norm is that when you have multiple systems, a side-by-side pedestrian and a bike, you merge them to bring them across the bridge. And there's different strategies that include signage, as you mentioned. You can encourage cyclists to dismount. Whether or not they'll actually do that is an enforcement issue, you know, to some degree. There's techniques of not striping the center lane on the bridge so that you perceive it as a much wider space as opposed to a 6-foot lane in one direction. And there's some other cautionary signage that can be put in advance of the bridges. But where we lack is the ability to actually stripe out a 5-foot, which if you're going to call a pedestrian, in order to provide someone, say, was in a wheelchair, the opportunity to make a turnaround on the bridge, that's a 5-foot lane. Then you've sacrificed, and then carrying that forward, if you then consider their leftover space as the two bike lanes, they're now substandard widths to carry the cyclists across.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You almost have four lanes going across that bridge,
right.
Pedestrians in each direction and the bicyclists in each direction. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I'm saying the strategy that we've seen work more commonly is to pull the striping off the bridge deck itself. So it's just
I don't argue that. I was thinking, like I said, I don't ride a bicycle. I don't know if it's imprudent to ask them, hey, could you dismount as you cross this bridge? The problem is the bridge is so long, a pedestrian walking across, it's going to take, a half a minute to them. Nobody's going to want to wait at one end of the bridge on a bicycle and have another pedestrian start across the bridge.
Right.
Do you follow what I mean? You may never have that situation where the thing's empty, where that bicyclist feels comfortable, you know, cutting across. And I think pedestrians still have the right-of-way over bicyclists in this kind of instance. So it's just something I'd say to look at. I don't have a good answer for you. If I did, I'd throw it out there. But I do see it as a concern, I guess, for me.
I experience this situation every once in a while. I run the existing pathway through by Kaiser, and there's an existing bridge, and there's bikes and pedestrians there all the time. And for the most part, it works just fine because people are fairly courteous with each other. And when I'm running, I don't run down the center line. I'll run to the right so that as long as I don't have my headphones on too loud and I can hear the bike coming up on me.
So you feel there may not be I may be more concerned than maybe the concern needs to be.
I think for the most part, people are fairly courteous and work together on these things?
Well, these were observations.
Okay.
I'm not trying to dictate how you go about it. It was just things I saw and kind of concerned me. I think I'm done.
Okay. Ron, you got a question?
Go ahead.
Ron?
Yeah, since this is a one-time bridge and you're adding so that it's a 40-pound truck, what happens if we get a 60-pound, 1,000-pound truck? Is this bridge going to be able to carry more than the 40,000 pounds without it being 100,000, but is there some leeway that if it gets bigger than 40,000, we're still covered? Or is, it's 40,100, so we can't use it, that kind of, I know that's extreme, but that's sort of my question.
The bridges, when they're designed, have a safety factor built into the roadway once the pathway's in. So it's a two-way road. It's not striped as a road, so it'll just be a very informal, use it like it is today.
Right.
But there's enough room for vehicles to pass one another along the...
Because I know when you get out to the rocks sometimes, especially if it's big surf or something like that, it's kind of a free-for-all. Everybody just runs out to the ocean, and all cars are going all different directions, and nobody knows where anybody's going. And my concern is also with pedestrians and that this looked, when I first saw it, looked kind of narrow to me. You get a Winnebago wanting to go out there, and I'm like, wow, there really isn't a whole lot of room on each side to accommodate larger vehicles.
Well, the paved road out to the rock is 22 feet wide.
Well, I mean the dirt part out where everybody parks. The dirt.
The point is this is wider than the paved road.
Okay.
Yeah, this should function. While it's not striped as the paved roads, it has the same width.
Okay, because I was thinking if you wanted to separate pedestrians, if you had some rock flower beds or something that not all the way, but like every 10 feet or something like that, you could, or 20 feet, you could block it off so that a car couldn't get up on there. But it'd be pretty, too. That's all my questions.
Just want to add a point from kind of a traffic engineering point of view. We like to slow vehicles down in situations like this, and having narrow road waves gives friction, basically, to the driver. So they see it as a narrow roadway, and they want to slow down to make sure that they maintain in their half of the street. So by not having it exceptionally wide, we're slowing vehicles down along there. We'll also probably look at signing a speed limit out there. We'll look at research into that. 25 miles an hour feels too fast to me out there, so we'll have to look at the regulations for signing that at a slower speed limit.
I just have one question. Is the side of the bike path where next to the dirt embarcadero, all that whole length, will that be higher than the road?
Yes, this is
grade
separated from the road.
Sorry about that. Yes, the bike path is separated by an elevational difference of about 6 inches from the adjacent roadway, just like the city streets are, with the sidewalk raised above the road deck, the roadbed. And that's continuous all the way out to the bridge.
Richard, do you have any questions? No? Marlis?
I just wanted to know if you've thought about what you would do if you are not able to raise this additional $70,000. Would you go with the smaller bridge if you're not able to get the money, or would you delay?
We'd build the smaller pedestrian structure.
Thank you. And one last question. Is this something that the Coastal Commission is going to be reviewing?
Yes, this is in Coastal's original jurisdiction, and RM schedule anticipates a Coastal Commission review of the project, along with the city will also be issuing a use permit for the project, so it goes through City Planning Commission review and Coastal Commission review, and then we have a couple environmental documents that we'll also be processing with the project.
Okay, so the expected start date of construction would be?
Probably September of 14.
Thank you.
All right, I have a couple questions. Mike, on the, so this is towards you, and then I have one towards Rob. Mike, thinking about the exit point going north across the pit, I mean going across the creek right by the, so you would go over, so what do you envision the base materials going? You empty off the bridge into the other side. Would there be like the
north of the creek?
You'd be north. Okay. And you know how the pit, when you goes down in there and all that sand is kind of washed out there, would you build it up to make that easement into the other side of the pit? That's not really part of the design. I think that's part of that would be the city's component, correct?
Here's an image up on screen. Are you talking about this side over
exactly.
here? Well, right now the plan is for the bridge on the north side. Well, we're going to reconfigure this area a little bit. And as you know, there's a wooden barricade about right in here, white barricade, and behind it some sand dunes, some ice plant. That will end up turning into a paved roadway. Okay. And it will complete the curve in the road that guides you into the pit. Mm-hmm. And what it will allow us to do then, if I get my mouse back here, is create more of a standard corner condition where you've got a curb coming around the corner of the sack. There's a little stem of the bike path that drops into the street. There's really not a place for benches or any.
No, I was just thinking of the balance. You have, you know, the south side would be fixed up and kind of fancy, but I understand your point in terms of it is exiting onto a street. Okay, and then, Rob, I have another question, and Mike, maybe you can speak to this also. On the the beach point where the turnaround for the Surreys and where the parking lot is on the south side of the pit, yes, right there. I think it was you and I, Mike, we had spoken about Project Surf Camp, people with special needs. And, Rob, this is where I think my question is to you. Somewhere down the road, being that, for instance, Project Surf Camp uses that parking lot, and we get 20 cars in there. We have people with special needs come down. In terms of putting handicap access, like a roll-up path that we can get down to the beach, or some sort of on the end where the teardrop is, where you turn your Surreys around, is there going to be some kind of ramp from that down to the beach, Mike? And then from there, Mike?
This project doesn't contemplate building any sort of a ramp. And from this point here down to this is really just for bikes to park or people to walk. So you wouldn't have anyone really accessing the beach from Project Surf Camp, probably coming from that spot. What we've preserved in this configuration, though, is you can see the scale of the cars parked here. There's plenty of room. Essentially, you could stage along this edge right here. And then the rollout idea, which is, I think, something you and I had discussed a while back, down in California State Parks, down in Doheny State Beach, what they do in the summertime, they literally roll a carpet rollout from the accessible walkways down to the high tide line. So it's something that is managed by, I'm not sure if the State Parks does it or if the city does it, or there's a joint agreement. But they provide that access. So it's not a permanent, it's fairly inexpensive way to go. Frankly, you know, it could be something that even Project Surf Camp, you know, can get donations to handle. But in this design, we were careful not to preclude the activities that are going on today. That's why we tucked it as close to the creek edge as possible. But, you know, specifically this project doesn't have a ramp for the beach access built in. It brings someone to the point at which they could access the beach.
Yeah, because I think after we had spoken, and then more and more thinking about people with special needs, Project Surf Camp, of course, but then other people, because once this is built, it's going to attract people. And as they go down there, if the city were ever able to enlarge in its, you know, access points for people with disabilities, I'm just thinking down the road if we had something like that. All right, my next question was, when we talked about the width of the road with the bike path and the walkway, the bike path, and the existing road to the pit, would we amend that dirt part of that, Rob? Would we shape it and make it better than it is, or would we just make the bike path and the walking path and leave the road as is?
I believe the intention is to leave the road somewhat as it is. It's an existing based road. There's no intention to pave it or maybe blade it off. That's kind of our regular maintenance activity that we do there to, you know, blade out the moguls, so to speak, that develop over time on that. The same thing with the rock parking lot is kind of the same maintenance activity that we do there is so that we don't have to get too many water trucks involved in it, is we try to schedule that right after the last rain but prior to the Easter service out there, and it's often tricky to make that all work together because we don't have control over at least the rain portion of it, I guess, or the Easter service portion of it. But that's our attempt, is to try not to use the supplemental water for dust control, but to hit that right after the last rain, blade it as smooth as we can get it, that typically is what we do for the season, and then do it back at the beginning of the next season.
No, I guess the reason I'm saying, because sometimes people do go down to that road, and they do go fast on that road. A lot of people go down there, and they race around and do stuff. And so, Mike, my last question is, when you're on the dirt Embarcadero about to turn left to the parking lot right there, and I think you had a picture of either where that bike path and walking path turn, that left turn right there, is there going to be something there to stop people from driving over the bike path?
Yeah, I think this is probably a good image, really taking up some space, but your lead into it with RVs, there's still room to park and turn around in there.
That's all my questions. Does anybody have any more backup?
I just had one more because I wasn't aware. I'll be honest, I didn't pick up on the fact you're taking it to the south at the last meeting. There's two points of access into that parking lot. It'd be this one plus the one that goes out onto the Embarcadero Road that goes out to the Rock, correct? That's the same parking lot, isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm getting confused. Okay. So the parking lot they're going down to there has no tie back?
No, it doesn't. Okay. If you look right.
There's no tie back from the pit parking lot back to the the Rock parking lot.
Oh,
they're two
okay.
separate.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okie doke. Okay, thank you.
When we say the pit parking lot, there's two pit parking lots, but this southern side is the side that we're affecting with the project, and this side is being left alone, the northern side.
And that I think concludes all of our questions. We do have a visitor here. Do you want him to just come and speak to about our fire trucks?
I would think that if you have any questions for the chief, he might want to make a few remarks during the before we open it up to public comment, but he's also here to answer any questions that you have. So with that, maybe Chief Knuckles, if you wanted to. I kind of introduced the project and gave a couple examples of why emergency access is needed. Gave the example of the Harbor Festival, emergencies that would with the gas line coming through there, there could be things such as that you would need have multiple points of access would be advantageous. And he gave the example of the Harbor Festival where there was the emergency incident and trying to get vehicles to that site was difficult with the streets crowded.
Well, Rob, it sounds like you've done my job. Thanks. But thank you. I'm sorry for being late. I was stuck in another meeting. I do apologize. Rob hit the nail on the head. It is that this is an opportunity that we have to open up the response for us. The compromise that we made, and it makes real good sense, is most of our fire trucks are going to be below 40,000 pounds, and especially with the weight and the design of the bridge where we be able to drive across that 12.5 foot. Yeah, it's going to be kind of challenging sometimes, but I think it's a great opportunity for us to provide not only access to the north side of town through the Embarcadero, because if we did have a commercial gas line issue on off Main Street at 1200 block of Main Street, we'll be losing the freeway and Main Street during Kite Festival, Harbor Festival. Give us more opportunities to be more flexible on emergency response, because Embarcadero is our largest life threat and also economic threat to the community. We also have the high school right around the corner. It also gives us 2 points for school buses to evacuate children from the high school so that the operations for anything that may occur at the high school, such as an active shooter type situation. It gives us two opportunities. So what a great opportunity we have to look at this, to come up with a compromise that will allow us to remain flexible with my fire apparatus.
Well, that was a pretty good follow-up to Rob. All right, it was a pretty good timing. Do we have any questions for the chief about the fire truck? Now, I guess your comment about the gas line at Main right there by Limos, that would preclude the use of the other bridge at Limos, not at Limos, but across the creek at Lila Kaiser.
Yeah, I don't think that bridge is rated for our fire trucks, maybe for a pickup truck, but not for our fire truck. But also, if we did have a situation there, if we use San Bruno as an example, that is going to probably consume Main Street and the highway. So maybe including that. But also we have flooding situations where possibility the bridge may be higher than Main Street, that we'd be able to get across there too. My idea is that hopefully we'll have permanent type of bollards there during everyday operation, but when we have high traffic flow, such as Harbor Festival, Kite Festival, that we would probably take those down and put up temporary so we can get quick in access back and forth and just move the barricades by hand if needed. But also we did one more emergency component, or actually two more. We have police services, but also we have ambulance services. Those ambulances do weigh about 15,000 pounds.
You make a good point about the flooding, because when that has flooded down there by Limos, you're right. Do we have any questions for the chief? Yeah, go ahead, Marlos.
Just one question. You said this was a compromise. What are you giving up?
Oh, weight and size. I love to do bigger and larger, but
But I mean, do we have vehicles that weigh more than that?
We'll have one additional vehicle. That's going to be our ladder truck. Right now, our ladder truck's out of service, and I'm trying to secure some funding for the future for replacement. And the replacement ladder truck will be about 48,000 to 55,000 pounds, and it'll be about 48 feet long.
But this is sufficient for most of the vehicles?
Yes, for all the vehicles except for the ladder truck.
Okay, thanks.
I guess we'll go through
to stop a fire on the Barcadero, and also in our fire trucks also has all our ocean rescue equipment. It has all our wildland firefighter equipment. It has all our paramedic equipment, because you got a pretty small department, and so we have to have the whole big toolbox with us.
Okay. Thank you. You answered my question.
All right.
All right. With that, if there's no other further questions for the chief, thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you.
We open up to, we have any public comments? Please approach the mic and state your name.
My name is Glenn Siloway. I live in Morro Bay. I'm surprised to be standing in front of you, but something just came to me out of the blue. You mentioned flooding, and Noah was asking about erosion control. How's that being considered in this plan, because you're building right over the floodplain, right? So is there a threat to the roadway or the path from erosion that could occur during those events?
Yes, we have done a hydraulic analysis, and the 100-year flood actually does fit well underneath the deck of the bridge, and so the abutments or the approaches to the bridge would be free from flooding. So this this is safe from flooding. Mm-hmm. And erosion-wise, we're not going to do any extra riprap or anything. The banks are what they are. We're going to try and leave them in the same state that they are now. There is the risk that an extreme flood could erode the banks, but the bridge is going to be designed on piers, so that even if the abutments are exposed, they will still remain standing. And then
so the approach could wash out, but the bridge would still be there.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have any further public comment? No. Okay, so no further comment. So now we could turn back to staff. What's our next step?
So at this point, what we were looking to do was receive this comment to really further the project along, and our next step is to process a conditional use permit on the project, and I'll push the design a little further along, and look forward to that use permit hearing, environmental documents. So Mike's got some work to do at this point to bring us to that next step. No action is required from the board.
We don't need to make a motion to amend our original to extend this to include the changes. We don't need a motion for that to keep it clean and clear?
That would probably be appreciated. I didn't think about that, but thank you for mentioning it.
Okay. I would make a motion that we amend the original motion that we had for us to include a 30% design increase and the estimated cost of $70,000 to accommodate the needs of the city with fire trucks. Well, it shows it right up here, 30% design.
First page of the white one.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, and so we've got
a... I'll second the motion.
Second. All right. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. 100%. Whatever, and that passes. All right.
Thank you.
There we go. All right. So, I think we have a... It was a
special night, so we have a further note coming, but we'll let us know when there's more meetings, correct?
Yeah, our next regular meeting is, I believe, still on October 17th.
Okay.
So we'll be looking forward to that meeting. I'll probably be sending an email out to think about that. We had talked about doing tours of facilities, mm-hmm. and maybe getting a consensus on the earliest people could start, because to get through all the facilities before it gets too dark, we need to have a little bit earlier start time.
Okay. I have a quick question on a future agenda item. I was listening to the city council meeting a couple weeks ago, and maybe Noah can help me out on this, is... There was a discussion about the new taxes or the different mechanisms for our roads, and there was discussion of bringing it to PWAB for a workshop, as I remember in the discussion. Has that been scheduled?
You know, once we meet with the subcommittee and start to work forward on perhaps the concept, then bringing it back to you, as well as trying to work with the Chamber of Commerce to do some surveys and get some more public input.
So we don't need to concern ourselves with it at this point.
At this point, we don't have anything scheduled, but I'm sure
okay.
We'll be
keeping
you involved.
You should always be concerned about this.
Well, the way the question came up in the meeting, it sounded like it was they wanted to have a public input kind of thing here at the PWAB meeting, and I got the feeling it was going to be October. So I may have misunderstood it when I was watching on TV.
That was part of our debate, and then I'll step down, but okay. Part of the debate was, do we shoot for the June election? If we decide that we're interested in proceeding with this, do we put it on the June ballot, or do we anticipate November? And I think from the council's perspective, we realized that June would be very early, and November would give us more time to really look very carefully at this and structure it with the support that it's going to need for passage.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, and with that, PWAB is ended, and we will see you all October 17th. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.